Well, we've been talking about miracles and God's glory for a number of weeks now. We've been talking about the subject of the miraculous since April passed. Amen? How many months? 8 months. Amen? Coming up on 9 months. We've been talking about the miraculous in the past, I don't know how long ago, 2 months ago, the Lord put it on my heart. Begin to make much of the glory. This is number 7, counting last Wednesday night. Hallelujah. If you weren't here last Wednesday night, you need to get that message called The Glory and Mass Miracles. We have it there. You just take it. Amen? It's a gift to you from the gathering at Cape Cod. If you weren't here last Wednesday night, you want to grab that. Amen? If you need a miracle in your life, you want to grab that CD. Amen? We've been ministering on Wednesday nights on the basics of faith, but the Lord put it on my heart last Wednesday night to go with the glory and to talk about God's glory and mass miracles. Amen? And it was a dynamic message, and it'll help you, and it'll bless you. Amen? So, we're still talking about God's glory. Amen? And this morning as we start, the Holy Spirit of God put it on my heart to kind of give you a review of where we've been with the glory of God in the past 7 lessons. Amen? 7 lessons, 6 weeks. Amen? To just kind of stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Amen? Concerning what we've seen about the glory. There's a lot of misconception about the glory of God in the earth. A lot of misconception about the glory of God right here on Cape Cod. A lot of misunderstanding. A lot of bad teaching. And it ought not be true. Amen? God's word is clear concerning what the glory of God is and what it isn't and how we can cooperate with it and what we can expect when we do cooperate with it. Amen? So, in lesson number 1 and 2, we asked the question and answered the question, what is God's glory? Now, we can't reteach all these lessons, but you'll remember some things as I go through this review with. Now, the Holy Spirit put this on my heart to do this. Amen? I like to seek the Lord. I don't like to just jump up here and blast something out and take an offering and get out of Dodge. Amen? I like to be led by the Holy Spirit and do things the way He wants to do things, because the Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Amen? Anybody can stand up and preach a gospel message. Amen? And gather a crowd. That's not what we want to do. We want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We want to be in the will of God in everything that we do. We want to be in the will of God in everything that we say. Amen? In Jesus' name. So, we're going to review where we've been in the past few weeks concerning the glory of God. We'll call it lesson number 1 and 2. I'll give you a brief synopsis of what we covered in those 2 lessons when I asked the question, what is God's glory, and answered the question from the Word of God. We saw in Romans chapter 6 that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of God. We also saw in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the dead. Now, if the glory rose Jesus from the dead, and the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the dead, guess who the glory is? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen? The glory of God is the Holy Spirit in manifestation. In Exodus chapter 33, we saw Moses ask God, he said, God, I'd like to see your glory. And God answered Moses and he said, I'll show you my goodness. He said, I'd like to see your glory. And God said, I'll show you my what? Goodness, the glory of God is the goodness of God. Whenever the Holy Spirit's in manifestation, it's the goodness of God in manifestation. God is good, the Holy Spirit's good. Everything that God does in the earth, He does through the agency of the Holy Spirit. So every manifestation of the glory is a manifestation of God's goodness. Aren't you glad He's a good God today? Aren't you glad He's not out to get you? Amen. Don't you know if He was out to get you, He'd have got you by now? Because you're not that smart, He's not that stupid. If He's looking to get you, He'd have gotten us all by now. He'd have started with Barbara and moved on to me first. Amen? Or do I have that the other way around? However, if God was out to get us, He'd have got us all by now. But He's not. He's out to bless us. Amen? We saw in Exodus 40, the glory appeared as a cloud over the tabernacle in the wilderness. In Solomon's temple, 650 years later, a cloud appeared in the tabernacle When they all stood up, all 120 ministers stood up and began to praise and give thanks to God for His goodness, a cloud filled the temple. The glory of God came into such strong manifestation, they couldn't even stand up to minister and do their priestly duties. People fell under the power of God, and you can be sure if anybody was sick, they got healed. If anybody had demon problems, it was resolved. If anybody had financial problems, they were resolved. Amen? Because when the glory is in manifestation, the goodness of God, provision of God, and protection of God is in manifestation. Amen? We saw that the glory can manifest as a cloud. It can manifest as smoke. Ezekiel saw the glory as a bright, glistening cloud. Habakkuk saw it as lightning-like shafts of splendor come out of the hands of God. He saw it. Habakkuk saw the glory of God, he said. And when you look up that word glory that he saw come out of the hands of God, it actually says lightning-like shafts of splendor sparked and blew out of the hands of God. And I gave you the testimony how Barbara had a problem, a tumor on the inside of her. And for months and months, I'd lay my hands on her through the night telling God, we're not taking no for an answer. We know that the Bible says who his own self bore her sins in his body on the cross, that she being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, and by his stripes it is your will to heal her. We're not taking no for an answer. For months I did that, until finally one night, those lightning-like shafts of splendor that Habakkuk talked about blew out of my hand, blew into Barbara, blew my hand over behind my body, and there was like a shotgun blast in the room. Bang! She didn't hear a thing. She didn't even wake up. She slept right through it. But I told her about it the next morning, and I said, by the Spirit of God, I heard myself say this to her. I didn't plan to say it, but I said it. I said, watch what happens in the next 2 or 3 days. 2 days later, she called me into the water closet, if I may, and she said, Pastor John? I said, you don't have to call me Pastor at home. Just call me Sir. She said, John, come in. You need to see what God has done. And there it was. It had come out of her body, a tumor about 3 inches long, about an inch wide, and it had hundreds of tentacles all around the edge of it that had lashed itself illegally to her body. And when those lightning-like shafts of splendor came out of my hand by the anointing of God, when the glory of God came out of my hand, blew out of my hand and threw my arm backwards, lit up the room in a bright light, exploded like a cannon in the room, those tentacles had to loose themselves. They had no choice. Amen? And that growth came right out of her body, and that discomfort that had been causing her for years was instantly and effortlessly alleviated, all by a manifestation of God's glory. Amen? We could tell you stories, and we told you some in the series. Amen? But we don't have time to go back and preach that whole series again. We saw at the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory caused Jesus' body and clothing to become glistening white. Paul saw the glory shine above the brightness of the sun on the road to Damascus when he was converted. I saw that same glory the night that I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the same glory. This glory that we're talking about is the same glory that touched my head 3 times when I was a drug and an alcohol addict. 3 times it touched my head, and something came out of that giant hand, flowed into my head like liquid love. It was hot and warm, and I'd never felt love like that before in my life. Amen. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I had over $1,000 of cocaine in my body, probably 2 6-packs of Beck's beer, and about 6 Entenmann's chocolate-covered donuts. That's what I was using to stay alive. And that power, that glory came into my body that day. I woke up 3 days later. I slain in the Spirit in my living room for 3 days. And I came back to this world 3 days later. And I was delivered supernaturally by the glory of God from drug and alcohol addiction. And this is the way I turned out. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Is anything too difficult for God? Amen? Hallelujah. If you think I'm making that up, you need to be delivered by the glory yourself. Amen? That's supernatural. Amen? There is no natural explanation for that, any more than there's no natural explanation for those lightning-like shafts of splendor and glory that came out of my hand into my wife and literally knocked that tumor right out of her body. A doctor had tried to get it out and he couldn't get it. I said, I'll get it, baby. Me and God. Amen? That's just a little humor. Amen? I had nothing to do with it. It's just the mercy of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Oh, we could talk about more. We'll move on to lesson number 3. We had a message called God's glory fills his temple. We saw that the glory in Solomon's temple hid out behind the Holy of Holies, that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the outward courts of the temple. We saw it was 40 feet wide, the temple that blocked the Holy of Holies. 40 feet wide, 20 feet high, 4 inches thick, woven. Woven! Amen? And only the priest could go back there. The high priest could go back there because the Spirit of God dwelled back there. In the temple, in Solomon's temple. Nobody else could go back there. Even the high priest, when he went back to do his priestly duties, if he didn't perform them precisely the way Moses instructed him to, he would die back there. They'd hear the bells on his gown stop tinkling, and they'd pull on the rope that was connected to his leg and drag him out of there, bury him, and get on the union hall and get another priest and start over. Amen? But that's where God dwelt. God promised in Exodus 25, verse 8, to his people, he said, I will dwell amongst you. If you will obey me, I will dwell amongst you. Not within you, amongst you. He dwelt in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. But when Jesus went to the cross in Mark chapter 15, the Bible says when he said it is finished, the veil in the temple was ripped. There was an earthquake that hit the earth. Somebody or something supernaturally ripped that veil in half. And God no longer was confining himself to a temple made of stone and mortar. He moved out of it and moved into human temples. Peter said that we're all now lively stones, building up a living temple of God. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, you are the temple of God and the Holy Ghost dwells within you. God no longer dwells in temples of stone. He dwells now in temples of flesh, you and me. He said, in the old covenant, he said in Exodus 25:8, I will come and I will dwell amongst you. But in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he said, I now dwell within you. You don't know how privileged you are, some of you. Amen. Some of us don't realize what God has done. He's chosen human vessels to be his holy temple. And that's why we always tell you there are no more holy places in the earth. There's no more holy places. You don't have to go to the River Jordan to get baptized. You can go upstairs here at the Holiday Inn and get baptized in the pool upstairs. And God will honor it just like he'd honor somebody getting baptized in the River Jordan. Because the River Jordan's not holy anymore. Amen? There are no more holy places. From now on, God said it's holy people. My people. Amen? His holiness is here because we're here. When we split the scene here today, we all go in different directions. His holiness goes with us, doesn't stay here in this sanctuary. Amen? All those holy things in the Old Testament, holy buildings, memorials, the River Jordan, they were all types and shadows of that which is to come. Holy people. See, that's us if we're born again. Amen? Are you born again today? Then you are a temple of the Holy God. God's holy temple. Amen. We saw that and God's glory fills this temple. Amen. And listen, the glory of God should be manifesting through these temples the same way that it did in Solomon's temple. The same way that it did in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Amen. God wants to manifest his glory through each and every one of us every day. I'm not saying he wants us walking around in a fireball every day. Or to follow the cloud by day or the fire by night. But we should be walking around as temples of God's holiness, expecting the glory, expecting his goodness to manifest through us and to us every day of our lives. But most people just mope around. Why isn't God moving more quickly? Why isn't God doing this? Why is it? We need to be thanking God like they did in the book of Acts for his glory manifesting through us. Every day thanking him for stretching forth his hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders in the name of his holy child Jesus, and he'll do it.
Yes, amen.
But when we mope and whine and complain and speak against his word, we hinder the glory. Let's make up our minds to cooperate with the glory. Amen? We're temples of God, for the love of Mike. We're temples of the Creator of the universe. From the smallest atom to the greatest galaxy, He who created all, He's our Father, and He lives in us by the agency of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we should be expecting greater manifestations of His glory through us than we do. We talked about in lesson number 4. You get anything out of this?
Yeah,
I'm fired up. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
we talked about the former and latter rain combined. Hosea said, the glory shall come in the last days as the former and latter rain together. We saw what the former rain was in the book of Acts. All those miracles that happened in the book of Acts are supposed to be compounded and multiplied and happening in the earth today. And it's to come in if we'll believe. Amen. Hosea said, the glory shall come as the former Old Testament book of Acts and the latter rain combined. Joel 2:23, the glory shall come as the former and latter rain combined. You all understand by now what the former late rain was, don't you? It's those miracles that we saw. And the early outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 2 all the way to Acts chapter 28. That's supposed to be compounded and happening in the earth right now in the age that you live in. Amen? The book of Acts is a blueprint for the way we ought to be doing things today. That's why I'm constantly encouraging you, lift your hands and just thank Him. No matter what you're going through, lift your hands and thank Him for His goodness and for His glory, and He'll bring the change. Amen? Don't just sit there or stand there all mopey and whiny and complainy. Amen? Lift your hands and praise Him. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. If you need a greater manifestation of the glory, there needs to be a greater manifestation of praise on your part. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo! We're not trying to talk a lazy God into doing something He doesn't want to do. God's trying to change a lazy people from praiselessness to praise. To thank Him ahead of time for what He promises to do. That's faith. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that He exists, but that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How? Through praise and through thanksgiving. Lift your hands right now. Amen. Open your mouth and give Him praise right now. Hallelujah. And we'll go to a higher place together, says the Spirit of God. You'll all come up higher together. Amen. Glory be to God. He promises the glory in these last days will be greater than the glory in the early church. Amen. Woo! Doggies. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we do love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that these last days' outpourings will be stupendously greater on a worldwide scale than what they had in the book of Acts. We saw Peter heal that man who was crippled for 40 years, and 8,000 people came to Jesus as a result. Are you with me? Are you with the Holy Ghost this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Philip went down to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And signs, wonders, and miracles followed that man's ministry, and he impacted the entire city of Samaria. Over in Acts chapter 9, Peter healed that crippled man who was crippled for 8 years. That man, what was his name? Aeneas. 8 years he was crippled. And the Bible says as a result, every single living human being in the city of Lydda and Sarin came to Jesus through one miracle. That's all we need right here. Amen? We don't need programs to grow this church. We just need one miracle, and everybody will come around and to see what's going on at the gathering. We'll tell about Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We talked about creating a glory atmosphere. Amen? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I told you, reminded you. My personal friend, Ronald Coyne. If you don't know this, you need to go to the website and just read the Ronald Coyne, the Plastic Eye Miracle Testimony. My personal friend, he's in heaven now. He's been on Oprah Winfrey, Sally Jesse Raphael, Phil Donahue, Geraldo Rivera. You name the talk shows, he's been on them multiple times. When he was a little boy, his brother was whipping a piece of barbed wire around his head and hit Ronald right across the face with it and ripped his left eyeball in half. All the fluid drained out. It became infected, and he had to have his eyeball surgically removed. He went to a tent meeting the following year. No eyeball! Glory to God. No eyeball. Was prayed for by a woman Barbara knows, Sister Daisy Gillick, the oldest sister of Dr. T.L. Osborne. Prayed for Ronald, thought she was praying for a chest cold, had no idea he had a plastic eyeball, and he began to see through his plastic eyeball, 8 years old. He spent the next 43 years leading millions of people to the Lord by demonstrating that miracle. He came to our church in Oklahoma City on two different occasions, popped that plastic eyeball out of his eye, put it on my pulpit, sat in the chair. I took a handkerchief and folded it 8 times over his existing eye, a half a roll of medical adhesive tape to put it in place down his nose, under his nose, across his eye, down the side of his head to make sure he couldn't see out of that eye. And every person in that congregation brought something for him to read, and he didn't miss a beat through an empty eye socket. He'd go on Geraldo Rivera and do that on television. Sally, he's been on Oprah Winfrey. Demonstrate. They're all having back. He told them all, I'll come as often as you like. But the first time you tell me I can't tell them Jesus did it, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Amen? Because I ain't no freak show. I'm a miracle of God, and I'm here to give God glory.
Hallelujah.
So only my Jesus can do such a thing. We talked about creating a glory atmosphere. Ronald said when he was a little boy and that miracle first occurred, if somebody walked up to him who didn't believe that he could see through that plastic eyeball or through the empty eye socket, he'd go blind. Because the unbelief of the unbeliever would grieve the Spirit of God and the miracle would stop. A minister came to him, I think it was John Osteen. Ronald used to go around in tents. With tent evangelists, he's been all around the country as a child, all around the world as an adult, demonstrating this miracle. As a little boy, when he would demonstrate it, and his eye would go blind because somebody was in line to have him read something, and they didn't believe he could do it, that person would grieve the Spirit of God, shut the miracle down. John Osteen saw it and said to him, I know how I can help you with that. Do you read your Bible every day, little boy? He said, no, I don't. He said, if you read your Bible every day, because faith comes by hearing, observation, hearing, and seeing, if you'll do that, every day, particularly before you demonstrate that miracle, nobody will be able to shut that miracle down anymore. Now, Ronald told me this himself. This is my friend. This is not a man I saw on TV. This is a man God gave us a friendship with for a brief 2-year period before he went to heaven. But I'm talking, I spoke to this man on numerous occasions. He's demonstrated this miracle 2 times in our church. Had multiple phone calls with this man, developed a friendship before he died. He told me when I started reading my Bible, Pastor John, as a little boy and getting some faith of my own, no longer when someone who walked up to me who didn't believe would my eye go blank anymore. Now that's supernatural too. That's supernatural too. We talked about the importance of developing a glory atmosphere. We saw when Jairus' daughter died. She died, and Jesus came to raise her from the dead. First thing he did, he threw out the professional mourners, and they laughed him to scorn. They weren't grieving, they were in there crying because they were paid to. They'd take paint and dirt and rub it on their face, mess up their hair, rip their clothes. They were professional mourners. Jesus threw them out, and once they were gone, once that unbelief, that hired unbelief was gone, he was able to raise her from the dead. But he couldn't do it till they were gone. We saw in Mark chapter 6, he went to his own hometown, the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, 1 through 6, and he could do no mighty works, no dunamis works, no miracle works except heal a few minor ailments because of the unbelief of his town folk. If we don't expect the glory, if we don't think he's going to do it, we'll hinder it. It'll be our fault, not his. If we don't praise him for his appearing, he won't appear. It'll be our fault, not his. Jesus himself, he was God in the flesh. He could perform no miracles when people didn't believe and people didn't expect. You can read that in your own Bible. Mark chapter 6, 1 through 6. He could do no mighty works because of the unbelief of his town folk. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember in Mark chapter 7, he took the deaf and the blind man from Decapolis away from the crowd to hear him, to heal him. Remember the deaf and blind man, Mark chapter 7, we saw that together. All I can do is remind you of it. You'll have to read it if you weren't here. Amen. Get the CD. It's free. Hallelujah. Free faith being offered at TGCC. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. He took that man out of the crowd to heal him because the crowd was so full of unbelief. In order to get the job done, he had to get him away from the unbelief and recreate a miracle atmosphere. Then he was able to heal the man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Joy, if you need to move, if you're not comfortable because of it, you just do whatever you need to do. Make yourself comfortable. Amen. Hallelujah. We saw Jesus had to do that again in the next chapter. In Mark chapter 8, He took the blind man out of Bethsaida because Bethsaida was under a curse. He had already pronounced a curse on Bethsaida in Matthew chapter 11 because of their unbelief. They kicked him out. They didn't want him there. So as he was passing through on his way to Samaria, they brought to him a blind man, and he said, sure, I'll heal him, but we've got to get him out of this unbelief. They took him right out of the town. Jesus prayed for him, and he saw instantly. We have to create a glory atmosphere. Coming in here all mopey and whining in the morning isn't creating a glory atmosphere. Coming in here and complaining, even if only inwardly, where are all the people? That's not creating a glory atmosphere. All we need to come in and say, God, I'm here, and I thank you in Jesus' name for manifestations of your glory because I'm here. Because I'm a believer. I'll do the believing. God, I'll do a little thing and I'll believe. You'll do a big thing and you'll perform miracles, and the folks will come a running. Some people are still struggling with where other people. That's God's concern. Our responsibility is praise Him for the glory. When we praise Him, He said, I'll inhabit the praises of my people. When we begin to praise Him and thank Him for the glory, in spite of the people, in spite of the people, in spite of the people who do or do not come, do or do not obey, you're here, you came, you're obeying, you praise, He'll honor your praise, miracles will happen, and we'll blow this place apart. Amen. We'll blow out of here. But we're going to have to learn to pray together first. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We need to keep our minds off all the people who have come and who have gone. I've told you time and time again, you know. Hallelujah. Some people just don't need to be here. They hinder the glory. Amen. There's other carnal hideouts. If you just want to play church, play Christianity, play religion, there's other places you can go and do that. This is not a carnal hideout. You can't do that here. We're not going to allow it here. I told you multiple times, God has called me to root out sin, not supervise it. I'm to root the sin out, not to oversee it. Amen? Well, hallelujah. I'm not talking about people who make mistakes. You're welcome to make a mistake and get forgiveness and keep coming. Amen? Keep making mistakes, keep getting forgiveness, and keep on coming. Amen? That's what the blood's all about. Amen? The church is a hospital for the sick. It's not a museum for the perfect. Amen? I'm talking about folks who don't want to change, who want to sit here and pretend that they're being something that they have no intention of being. I'm talking about the phonies. Let the Holy Ghost root them out and get them out of here. They hinder the glory. Amen? So I'm talking about the people who pray, oh Lord, lead us not into temptation. Just point us in the right direction. We'll find it ourselves. You know what I'm talking about. The phonies! Amen? Now some people have come and gone and they're not phonies. They belong here and they need to come back here and they're welcome to come back here. But some folks just flat out living in sin, and the Holy Spirit calls it out, gives them opportunity to repent. If they don't want to repent, it's better that they go until they do repent, because they hinder the glory. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Let me tell you about William Daddy Seymour. Anybody ever hear that name? William Daddy Seymour. He was a son of former slaves. He was a one-eyed African-American man. And in 1907, that African-American man prayed down single-handedly. Now, he rose people up to pray with him, too. But he took responsibility to lead the charge and the call to prayer for revival in the United States in 1907. This is a man who wasn't even welcome because of Jim Crow laws in the United States of America. Called of God, anointed of God, probably more than any white man in his time. He wasn't even able to go to Bible school because there were no African-American Bible schools at the time. It's all white schools. And Jim Crow laws in Kansas, where he was at the time, wouldn't allow him to go to Bible school. Jim Crow laws. You know what Jim Crow laws were? Laws against black folks. That you can't participate in the things that white folks do. It's the devil. Amen. You know why they call it Jim Crow law? Because whoever thought of it had a brain. His first name was Jim, and he had a brain the size of a crow. That's my own definition. Amen. This man had one eye. He stuck his head in an orange crate so that the other people praying around him wouldn't bother him. And he personally prayed down the Azusa Street revival. There's a man who couldn't even get into Bible school. One man, Charles Parham, invited him to his Bible school outside of Kansas City. And because of Jim Crow laws, he couldn't sit in the classroom with the poor white folks. He had to sit in another room. So Reverend Parham knocked the wall down and kept everything nice and legal. Knocked the wall down between the classrooms. He sat over there in that classroom alone, according to Jim Crow laws. But the wall was now gone. He could sit there and participate. Isn't that pathetic with the white folks in the other room? Brother Parham found a way. Get that man in there. He recognized the anointing. What in the world is wrong with some people? William Daddy Seymour, he prayed that revival down. That revival literally went to the world through the releasing of that man's faith. And William Daddy Seymour said, he gave a prophecy, I believe it was in 1908, in the midst of that revival, he said this same revival that has hit California, the United States, and literally went to the nations of the world, he said, will hit America again in 100 years. Guess where we are today? This is 100 years later. It's time for the fulfillment of Daddy Seymour's prophecy. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you what happened. Amen. This guy is the son of former slaves. No education because nobody would educate him. But the Holy Ghost educated him. Amen. Hallelujah. What's wrong with some people? I always say, your brain's the same size as mine. How come it doesn't work as well? Listen to what happened. Nearly because of what Daddy Seymour, we're talking about prayer in here today. We're talking about, we've just done our little review of where we've been in the past 6 weeks, talking about the glory of God. Today we're going to talk a little bit, before I let you go, about the importance of praying for the glory. Daddy Seymour's prayers 100 years ago resulted in nearly 30% of all Christians today being Pentecostals or charismatics. As a result of what that man prayed down 100 years ago that swept this country and swept the nations of the world, 523 million people this day are Pentecostal or charismatic because of the prayers of that one man. Did you hear that? That's more than a half a billion people who are Pentecostals and charismatics because of what he prayed. His prayers are still impacting the world to where 9 million people a year come into Pentecostal charismatic faith movement. That's 25,000 people per day worldwide are still coming into the kingdom of God, and they directly attribute that to the outpouring on Azusa Street in 1907. Which Daddy Seymour, he wouldn't give up even when they wouldn't let him go to white men's Bible school. He said, I'll just get an orange crate, stick my head in it, and I'll fellowship with the Holy Ghost alone. He gave him praise. He gave him glory. And that which was poured out 100 years ago, he said it will revisit America in 100 years from now by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, here we are 100 years later. Hallelujah. You know how I feel about racism around here. Amen. I said, you know how I feel about racism. Let me just tell you right up front what I tell you all the time. Somebody said to me, Pastor, how do you feel about interracial marriage? I said, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in interracial marriage. Where are you going to find another race to marry into? There's only one race. It's the human race. I don't believe in interracial children. Because there is no such thing. There's only one race. God's great race. Can you prove that in the Bible? Yes. Acts 17:26. The Apostle Paul said that God has made from one blood all the nations of the world. Amen. A black man's blood, Jerome's blood, can save my life. My blood can save Jerome's life. No animal's blood can do that. Let's just get over this foolishness. Amen. Anybody who's racially prejudiced, religiously prejudiced, sexually prejudiced, or socially prejudiced, ain't nothing like Jesus wants him to be. And if you're in this church and you're a racist, I have something to tell you. I hope you stay, because I can help you. Amen. We're not asking you to leave. We're asking you to stay. Because we can help you with that mess. You won't find no cursed race of Ham, no cursed race of Cain. I'll personally give you $10,000 if you find that in the Bible. Amen. And I won't be reaching soon. Because it ain't in there. Amen. We're all created in God's image. We're all created in God's likeness. Amen. Take a lesson from Daddy Seymour. Hallelujah. And I got this lesson ready last week. When as far as I knew, all we were going to have here is a bunch of white folks. So don't think I'm doing this because of any other reason other than the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I told God years ago, I don't want no funky white church, Father. We want a multicultural church where all people from all cultures can come and know that they're loved and know that God anoints the white man. He anoints the black man, the brown man, the yellow man, the red man, and women. In Christ Jesus, Paul said in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female. We are all one in Christ, baby. Amen. That's just the way that it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, before we go into the subject of prayer and we leave the issue of racism behind, you know how I always like to say, some white folks are going to be totally surprised when they arrive in heaven. And God might just have a black face. Glory to God! Aren't you glad you're free from that stinking mess?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. No less than 12 times in the Gospels we find Jesus going off to pray. No less than 12 times. You know, Jesus didn't perform the miracles that he performed strictly because he was the Son of God. He was a man baptized with the Holy Ghost just like the rest of us. And he spent time in prayer, and that's how he tapped into God's power. If he just did the miracles he did by some intrinsic ability as the Son of God, there would be no need for him to pray. Amen? No less than 12 times you find Jesus staying up all night praying and then coming doing a hard day's work of miracles all day long. 12 times in the Bible it says he was on the mountaintop, or when he came down from the mountaintop, he greeted the multitudes and healed them all through the power of prayer. Amen. We have a message in this series, and it's called The Glory of God and the Holy Spirit. Is that what it's called? Oh, glory. You need to get that CD if you haven't heard that message, and you will discover on that CD exactly how dependent Jesus was on the person of the person. He's not an impersonal force, the person of the Holy Ghost and prayer. Amen. How dependent he was, and if he was that dependent for being sent into this earth by the Holy Ghost, birthed into this earth by the Holy Ghost, put in Mary's womb by the Holy Ghost, grew up in wisdom and stature by the Holy Ghost, performed miracles by the Holy Ghost, died by the power of the Holy Ghost, and was raised again by the power of the Holy Ghost, how much more dependent on the Holy Ghost are you? And prayer. And prayer. Get that CD. Just take it. If it's there, just take it. Amen? Hallelujah. I had a pastor say to me one time, anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. I woke up at 4:30 this morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I'm going to let you go out further. Huh? By the still small voice of the Holy Ghost. He said these words to me, I'm going to let you go out further. So he said to me, 4:30 this morning, and as I was laying there just thinking on what he said, I heard him say again, this time he didn't say let, he said, I'm going to allow you to go out further. And I immediately thought about Ezekiel's river in Ezekiel chapter 47. Remember we taught on that a couple of weeks back, how Jesus took Ezekiel and he showed him the river of glory. He took him into his ankles first, and then he let him out 1,000 cubits, and he was up to his knees, and then 1,000 cubits, and he was up to his loins, his waist, and then 1,000. Finally, he said, I was swimming in the river. It was over my head. The river is the glory. Hallelujah. We've been in and up to our ankles. He said to me at 4:30 this morning, I'm going to let you go deeper. I figure we're going into the knees at this point. Amen. I'm going to allow you to go out further. But we're going to have to cooperate with that through prayer. I had a pastor say to me one time, a pastor from California. Well, he called himself a pastor. I never believed he was a pastor. He just didn't have a shepherd's heart. Amen? But he called himself a pastor, so I'll refer to him as a pastor. He said to me, he said, Pastor, and I befriended the man, and I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm not putting anybody down. I don't even think he's in ministry anymore today. Amen? He said to me, Pastor John, sometimes I need to just get away from ministry for refreshing. Sometimes I just need to get away from ministry and be refreshed. I got to fill my quota of Will Smith action videos. I said, what in the world? What in the world? He said, that's how refreshing comes to me. I have to fill my quota. Nothing against Will Smith. Amen? But I just had the, I thought in my heart, Peter said in Acts 3:19, repent in times of refreshing will come. When I need refreshing, I get on my knees before the Holy Ghost. When I need refreshing, I'll go and pray in tongues. Amen? I don't need to watch action videos. Nothing wrong with some movies. You know, I like John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart and, you know, hallelujah, Mr. Ed. Hallelujah. Maurice is laughing, but he'll be the first one. Now he knows I have Mr. Ed videos. He'll be the first one to borrow them. Hallelujah. We like the clean stuff, the stuff that doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? Peter said, repent, and times of refreshing will come. Amen? Listen, when I need increased anointing, when you need increased anointing on your life, it's time to pray. Every day, stay built up in the most holy faith by praying in other tongues. Amen? And when I talk about prayer, I'm not talking about fighting with demons. I'm so glad I got you for another half hour. Hallelujah. Because I ain't nearly through. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about fighting with demons. Come down in Jesus' name. I always say, what are you going to do if you get them to come down? I'll tell you what, you'll be running the CVS for another box of Depends. You wouldn't know what to do with the devil if you got him down here. I tell folks who say, come down, pulling down strongholds. They don't have to come down. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 12:29, bind the strong man and plunder his house. Don't fight with him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 says that the princes of this world have already come to nothing. Colossians 2:14-15 says that Jesus stripped them of all power and made an open show of them and triumphed over them in it. Hebrews 2:14 says that Jesus stripped him who had the power of death, of the power of fear over humanity. We don't have to fight with him anymore. We tell him what to do, and he must obey. When the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:4, in the word of a king there's power. That means you're a king and a priest according to Revelation 1:5-6. That means when you speak to the devil, he obeys or heads roll. Amen. Yeah. The devil wants you to fight with him all night in unbelief. Amen? You just tell him, I bind you in Jesus' strong name. 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came to defeat him. 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to defeat him. Did he get the job done? Or did he run home with his tail between his legs, a scaredy cat? He got the job done. And he said, now all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now you go take authority over the devil and bring this message to the world. So when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about praise. I'm talking about praise in other tongues and with national language, whatever your national language might be. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about getting 100 people over here at Sandwich High School and trying to talk an angry God into doing something he doesn't want to do. God's not angry and he wants to pour out his glory. Amen? Those folks over there, that glory of God on Cape Cod movement, they're a bunch of universalists teaching secretly on their website the teachings of John Otis and Rhonda Huey, saying that everybody is going to heaven because of what Jesus did, whether we believe in Jesus or not. That's not true! That's not true. And they're over there with taking a bunch of Old Testament scriptures out of context to preach some goofy doctrine. Let's stick with the New Testament. It's the dispensation that we live in. Amen? And we have seen in the past weeks from the book of Acts, when those people got together and lifted their voices in one accord and prayed and gave praise to God, he stretched forth his hand and he began to perform the supernatural when they gave him praise and thanks. in Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about, prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. Thanking Him for doing what He's willing to do. Amen. Yeah. Zechariah. Oh, let me just tell you this. I got a little note here. Every major move of God in the last 2,000 years started with prayer. And the glory always fell. Every major move of God from the time Jesus was here until this day that I'm speaking to you. Every major move of God began with prayer in the past 2,000 years. Amen? Hallelujah. If you come to prayer before the service, you hear the way that I pray almost before almost every service. I pray this way. Father, whatever you want to do, I give you glory for it. You want me to preach, I'll preach. You want me to teach, I'll teach. You want to manifest the gifts of the Spirit, we'll manifest the gifts of the Spirit. You want to pour out your glory, we'll pour out your glory. You want testimonies, we'll have testimonies. We just want what you want, God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you for manifesting yourself, your grace and your goodness, Father. Thank you for revealing your goodness to the people of Cape Cod. In Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about in prayer, amen? And you ought to be doing that yourselves every day. If you're not whining in prayer. Don't tell God the problem over and over. Because whether you realize it or not, He already knows what the problem is. He knew you were going to encounter it before you did. Praise is your answer. I'm talking about praise just like in 2 Chronicles. Anybody getting anything out of this today, or you want to go? You want to stay and hear some more? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the way those people came together in Solomon's temple at the dedication of that temple. And they prayed and lifted their voices in one accord and worshipped Him for His goodness, His grace, and His mercy. Not His severity, but His goodness, His grace, and His mercy. And He poured out His power to where nobody could stand up and everybody got healed. That's what God wants to do. That's what I'm talking about in prayer. I'm talking about when the Amorites and the Moabites and the children of Seir came against the nation of Israel, and Jehoshaphat told them, let's just go out tomorrow morning and begin to praise God right in their faces. When they did that, God caused their enemies to begin to fight amongst themselves. He said, the battle's not yours, it's mine. All you need to do is praise me. And when they did, their enemies fought against one another, killed one another. And Israel didn't have to fight in that battle, but they were 3 days gathering up the spoil that belonged to their enemies through the power of praise. I'm talking about praising like Paul and Silas in the midnight of their lives in Acts chapter 16, 25 and 26. In the midnight of their lives, they were in stocks and bonds and they began to praise God and sing so loud the other prisoners could hear them. And suddenly an earthquake hit the building. God broke them out of the stocks and bonds and released them and everybody else in that prison. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about prayer. Praising God for His goodness. Amen. We don't have to tell Him what to do. Just thank Him. He knows what to do and He's doing it now. Amen. Hallelujah. I always tell people, don't come here wondering what I'm going to preach. Amen. Come here knowing that heaven's going to open up because you've been praising Him for it all week. Don't come here wondering what Pastor John's going to come up with out of the goodie bag this week. Come here knowing He's going to pour out His glory because you've been driving around in the car, praising Him, sitting at your desk and at the computer, if only silently in your heart, you've been praising Him all week for pouring out your glory on Cape Cod through signs and wonders and miracles. Zechariah 10:1 says we have to ask of the Lord. I got you for another 25 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask of the Lord rain. You know the term rain by now is just another term for the glory. It's talking about spiritual rain. It's talking about pouring His glory from heaven into the earth. Zechariah said, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, and the Lord will make bright clouds. You know bright clouds by now is a manifestation of the glory. Amen. We've been through all these scriptures together. We need to ask. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. We need to ask Him. We need to believe Him. We need to earnestly desire. We need to covet, inquire, request, and even demand the glory be poured out in this earth. Not demand God, but demand the devil back off in Jesus' name while God moves in our midst. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what the Bible teaches. Amen. Hallelujah. God said in Isaiah 45:11, He said, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. concerning, he's saying, in essence, tell me where you need my power, my glory poured out, and I'll do it for you. If only you believe. If you believe, you'll ask once and you'll thank him, and you'll never ask him again. Amen. We don't ask him to pour out the glory. We thank him for pouring out the glory. Amen. But we can't tell him how to pour out the glory. We can't tell him, I'll take 2 words of knowledge, 3 words of wisdom, 1 discerning of spirits, oh yeah, and 3 large prophecies, and make that to go, I'm taking the boat out today. That's how some people pray, in essence. They tell God what to do. We can't tell him, look right here. In 1 Corinthians, we just thank him. He knows what to do. He's all-knowing. He knows what to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And the more we come together in prayer, the greater the faith atmosphere. The greater the faith atmosphere, the more miracles. The more miracles, then we experience increase in church growth. Then we experience increase in numbers and in finances. Amen. People, quite frankly, who don't accept the responsibility to pray have no basis for complaining that there's no people in church. Now, we all need to hear that. Amen? We all need to hear that. People who don't bother to come out and pray for the outpouring of God's glory, they have no basis for complaint when they look and see the numbers are low. It's up to all of us, not just the pastor, to pray this thing out. Amen? Look right here. And when we do, he'll do what he knows is best. See you there in 1 Corinthians 12? Let me hear you just say, Pastor, I really love you, man. Oh, I've just been waiting to hear you say that for so long again. Amen. Someday, someone's going to raise their hand and I'm going to say yes. And they're going to say, Pastor, we really love you, man. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, are you there? But the manifestation in verse 7 of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. See, I don't want the gifts to operate to make me look like a big dude of a pastor. I want the gifts to profit everybody. I want people to be blessed where they need to be blessed. Amen? And I want God to get the glory. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given by the Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And if you don't know what these are, we got it on CD, all 9 gifts of the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same who? I can't give a word of knowledge if it's not the Holy Spirit. To another, faith, by who? The same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings, by whom? The same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But look right here. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. See, he does it. We can't tell him how to do it. Dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen? If we'll praise him, he'll do what he knows is best. And he will do it. He will do it. Amen? Don't go looking for a church where the supernatural occurs. Begin to praise him throughout the day, all day, every day. And then when you come to church, the supernatural will occur because you came to church. You brought it with you. Don't go looking for it. Bring it with you. Amen? Did you hear that? Don't go looking for it. Bring it with you. Stand at the fryer later and pray in tongues, Jerome. Amen? And you can do it quietly. Don't do it out loud. People think you're nuts. They don't know you're nuts. Amen? If you're around people who don't understand, don't pray in tongues out loud. You'll turn them off to Jesus. You can do it quietly on the inside. Your spirit's on the inside of you. It's a spiritual exercise. Do it on the inside. Do it all day, every day. You will be amazed at what you hear and see from the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you'll talk in tongues all day. Didn't Paul say, "Hoo-wee, I'm not even getting tired." Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, didn't Paul say, "I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all." He said, "I pray in tongues more than a bunch of you." Look at the revelation he got. That's where it came from, praying in tongues. I just told you, no less than 12 times in the Gospels, Jesus went up to pray to get along with the Father and have some prayer time. That's where the power came from. Hallelujah. Do it all day, every day. Go to James, if you would, chapter 5. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. And I ain't calling pigs. Hallelujah. That'd be suey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Almost every miracle in the book of Acts was a result of united prayer. It didn't just happen because God decided it was going to happen at that time for those people. It was a result of united prayer. I'm going to come back and talk to you again about the glory of God and the prayer of unity. Amen. If we will unite ourselves in prayer just for short bursts of time before each service, we'll see the glory. For I'm encouraging everyone to get to prayer if you can. You really want to see the glory of God poured out in your community and in your country and in your life and in your family? Here's your opportunity. Come to prayer. Come to prayer. Almost every single miracle without exception in the book of Acts was a result of the prayer of unity. You know what the prayer of unity is? I'll tell you what it is. First, I'll tell you the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement is when two people agree together in prayer. The prayer of unity is when three or more agree in prayer. Amen? Very simply put. When the book of Acts prayed together in unity, God stretched forth His hand and performed mighty signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of His holy child, Jesus. Amen? God's waiting for us to pray this thing out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are the people? They're waiting for us to pray them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We don't have to come here and get on our faces on the carpet for 2 hours before each service and pray in tongues until our tongues bleed. We know someone who used to do that. That's bondage. We have 20 minutes of prayer time on Wednesday before the service. We have 30 minutes of prayer time on Sunday before the service, where we just come together and pray the prayer of unity, the prayer of praise and thanksgiving, giving God opportunity to move in our midst, because He said, I will inhabit the praises of My people. No habitation, no manifestation occurring. It's because there ain't enough praising going on. It's simple. It's simple. But what if we come together in prayer and nothing happens? Well, what if we come together in prayer and something does? Something will. The Bible promises it. James chapter 5. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 5. We've been here. We're going here again just for a few minutes, and we're going to stand up and praise God for 5 minutes together this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Be patient, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Wait patiently. He's coming. Don't try to slow it down or speed it up. Behold, the husbandman, that's God, you see, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. That's the harvest that's coming when the glory's poured out in the last days. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain combined, is what he's saying. He's waiting for us to praise him for the combination of the former and the latter rain. You think you're being patient waiting for numbers? You think you're being patient? I think I'm being patient waiting for these chairs to be filled. We don't know patience till we know God's patience. Amen. He's waiting for us to come together as prescribed in the book of Acts, our blueprint, to come together, pray the prayer of praise and worship, pray the prayer of unity, and He'll get something done. I take those two amens. Look down there in verse 17. Now, he's talking about prayer, right? Hallelujah. He's talking about praying to receive the early and the latter rain, James is. And look what he said about Elijah in verse 17. He said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He made mistakes just like the rest of us. Amen? We all make mistakes. I can personally vouch for 2 mistakes I made in my life. Little pulpit humor. Very little, Barbara says. We all make mistakes. Amen? We all make mistakes. Don't say because of your mistakes you can't pray and expect the miraculous, when the Bible says in spite of your mistakes, pray and expect the miraculous. Amen? He's a good God. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, making stupid mistakes like us, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You know what James is telling us, the half-brother of Jesus? He's telling us to pray for the miracle reign of God's glory in spite of your shortcomings. God will hear you and God will answer you. Amen? Listen, sin is no longer a problem between you and God anyway. If you've blown it, just confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness and then just get up and hit it again. You know, God will forgive you as often as He tells you to forgive others. Peter said to Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? How many times did he ask? Three?
Yeah, seven.
Seven, he said seven. He thought he was being quite magnanimous. The law said you have to forgive three times in a day. Peter said, how about I double it and add one, Jesus? And Jesus said to Peter, no, you need to forgive your brother 70 times seven, Peter. Barbara put the pencil to that one day. In one day's time, 70 times seven? How many... 490 times a day, that's once every 2.5 minutes, you have to forgive someone for repeating the same offense if they do and they ask for forgiveness. How much more will God forgive you? Listen, sin's not a problem between you and God anymore because of the blood. We can pray this thing out. We can pray this thing down. All we need to do is come together, pray the prayer of praise and worship, pray the prayer of unity. If you'll do that for the people of the world, God will do a special favor for the people in your family.
Amen.
You take care of God's family through prayer, God will take care of your family.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, the Bible says, give and it'll be given unto you, doesn't it? Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. With the You take care of God's needs. He'll take care of your needs. You need your family saved and healed, amen? Well, God's waiting the pressure for the precious fruit of the earth, for the former and the latter rain to be prayed down, amen? Get your mind off your problems. Get your mind on God's needs and pray those out, and God will eliminate your problems, amen? And He'll knock down your Goliaths first, and then all the little Philistines will just run away. I'm preaching here today. Stand up if you would. You know, the Bible says if you can't stand up, you stay right in your seat. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand right up. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand up. Stand up. 2 Corinthians 10, I'm not commanding you. I'm just preaching. Amen? I'm just preaching. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen? One of our weapons that is not carnal, the most powerful weapon we have next to the name of Jesus, is the power of praise. Amen? It's time to take up our battle stations of praise. Just lift your hands right now. Begin to praise Him for the glory. Begin to praise Him for the outpouring of the former and the latter rain combined. In this community, in this state, in this country, in this earth, I'm telling you again, America is about to see her finest hour. Right here, Father, we praise You for Your glory. We give You praise. We give You glory. We thank You, Father God, that You stretch forth Your hand to heal in the name of Your holy child, Jesus, and You perform mighty signs and wonders and miracles. Father, we give You praise. Just right out loud in other tongues. Give them praise. The Bible says when we pray and praise God in other tongues, we give Him perfect praise. That's 1 Corinthians 14:17. He said, when we give God praise in other tongues, we're giving Him perfect praise. Takes faith. Takes faith to praise Him in other tongues. Takes faith to overcome your flesh in the fear of man and just begin to praise Him in other tongues. Oh, but faith is the only thing that pleases Him. He set it up that way. That's the way He wants it. That's the way it's going to be at the gathering. Amen. Give Him praise. Give Him praise from your heart. Give Him praise out of your spirit. Oh, rasoge per. That's how we do it, you see. That's how we do it. Brando seki peredeshte. I want to encourage you. Continue to praise Him. Come to prayer on Sunday and Wednesday. Come to prayer on Sunday and Wednesday. Come to prayer. Let's pray down the former and the latter glory. Oh, keep on praising Him while I talk to you. Keep on praising Him. You can get here for prayer. You can get here for prayer. You live in what's going to prove to be the most powerful time in all of human history. You can be part of this. You need to be part of this. You are a part of this. God needs our faith. God desires our praise. We desire to give you our praise, bro. As we pray and give Him praise, He'll increase us numerically. He'll increase us financially as we pray and praise the prayer of unity like they did in the book of Acts. Come together in prayer. Come together with our own company, the Bible says, and pray it down. We can pray this down. God said when we give Him praise, He'll inhabit our praises. When God shows up, everything changes. Everything gets easy. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. That's it. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so simple. Even a child can do it. Bro sovratosegi pere, brando semenegesegi pere desta.